Today on Maine Calling, the proposed new state flag. After years of debate and discussion, it is now in the hands of voters. The question, should Maine change its state flag? Currently, the Maine flag is blue with the state seal in the center. It has been the Maine state flag since 1909. The proposed new flag would closely resemble an older version of the Maine state flag, one that was used from 1901 to 1909, buff-colored, featuring a white pine and the North Star. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will learn about the flag's history, design principles in creating flags, and symbolism. Some people have strong feelings about this. Others don't care. The Maine state flag on Maine Calling. That's just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by support from Maine Farmland Trust, working this summer to purchase and protect the historic Morris Farm in Wiscasset. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org. By Welch and Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at welchforbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, supporting Maine island communities through education, health, and community engagement. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Do you fly the Maine state flag? Do you like it, or would you like to see it changed? The question is on the November ballot. Do we replace the blue state flag that has the Maine state seal on it with the so-called pine tree flag? Well, joining me for this discussion, Shenna Bellows, who is Maine's Secretary of State, and Dave Martucci, a vexillologist. That's a person who studies flags. He is based in Maine. What do you think about the idea? Are you behind the idea to change the flag, or would you like to see the blue flag stay? And how do you think about the Maine state flag? Send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to both of you, and thank you for being here on Maine Calling with us today. Shenna Bellows, I'm going to start with you. Even though you've been in charge of this process, this wasn't your idea, right? This is a referendum question that came through the legislature, correct?
That is correct. This was initiated by the legislature. I, as the Secretary of State, am the facilitator of the process. Okay. And it's a lot of fun. Maybe the most fun part of my job this year.
I'm sorry, I cut you off. You said this has been the most fun of your job this year.
Yeah, it's been a treat, right? It has. It's something that everyone can enjoy. Everyone can have an opinion, and it's not rooted in ideology. It's just a fun exercise. What do we want the symbol to be to represent our state?
And just to be clear, on the ballot question, question five, if you vote yes, it means you want the change. And if you vote no, it means you do not want the change.
That's right.
Okay. So Dave, I'm going to bring you in here. I'm going to start with kind of a bigger question, not about the specific flag, but I'm thinking to myself, Dave has dedicated his life to the study of flags. So clearly flags are important to you. What is it about flags, Dave? Why do they matter?
Well, that's a great question. That's one of the major topics that gets studied by vexillologists is, why does it matter? Humans have been making flags for at least 7,500 years, probably a lot longer than that. Flags and flag-like objects probably go back as far as human consciousness goes. And the impulse and the urge to make and use flags is a huge factor in our society of all kinds, all around the world. There isn't a place on earth where the use of flags hasn't arisen on its own. And it's a major conundrum, you might say. It's kind of an object that a lot of people don't put a lot of care into, but it's incredibly important. And when certain flags are flown, there are emotional reactions to it. And that's worth studying to understand the human condition behind the need to use and fly flags.
And so, Shanna, I'm going to bounce off that and ask you what you are hearing personally, what your office is hearing. Do people really care about this issue?
I think some people really do. We certainly heard some passion, both for and against. And keep in mind, more than 400 Mainers submitted designs. We decided to hold a contest to have people interpret the language of the pine tree, the blue North Star, the buff background, and the creativity was incredible. We had a great, great variety.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. I understand, Dave, that the history here is a little bit murky. Why the 1901 flag was chosen, why the 1909 flag was chosen. The one that's being proposed is similar to the 1901 flag, and Shanna will talk more about the process in a minute, and one of your committee members is going to call in. But Dave, what do we know? Why? What do we know about how the 1901 flag was chosen and what it's supposed to be, and then why it was changed?
Well, it's not that murky, really. Maine has used a pine tree as a symbol since long before there was a place called Maine. Native Americans used it as a symbol in our area, and they're still using it today. The original flag that was used by the militia featured a pine tree and a moose, which is also on our state coat of arms. And the flag was designed in 1901 by Adjutant General John Richards, who had the opportunity. The original bill in 1901 was for a blue flag with the state coat of arms on it, and he didn't like that idea. He was kind of a powerful figure at the time, and he thought that that was, even though that was a basic design used at least a little bit during the Civil War, he thought that the state flag should be different. And one of the concerns that was true then and is true now is that a lot of states are using a blue flag with a state seal or coat of arms, and it's really easy to confuse those flags for each other, particularly in this part of the country where Vermont, for example, has a pine tree and a moose. We have a pine tree and a moose, and Vermont has a pine tree and a cow. So it can be very confusing. So General Richards was able to convince the legislative authorities to go along with a design of just the pine tree with a blue North Star. And that was a flag unlike any other flag in the country. And it was very popular when it first was adopted. But by 1909, the legislature had a lot of people in it that were either Civil War veterans or mostly they were sons of Civil War veterans. And like I said, during the Civil War, some in the early part of the war anyway, there were blue flags with the state coat of arms, at least on one side of the flag. And so they adopted essentially a military color. The actual language of adoption, which is still in effect today, really specifies a flag that nobody can possibly make or use today because it would be prohibitively expensive, and that flag should be a certain exact size, made of silk material, mounted on a 9-foot pole, with fringe, with a cord and tassel set, all that specified in the law. So there is no flag today that exists anywhere, not even the model flag at the Adjutant General's office, that conforms with the law. So that's where we are today, and that's the whole background of how we got here.
And Shanna, you talk with other secretaries of state. Maine is not the only state that has either considered changing its flag or has actually changed its flag, correct?
That's right. So I serve as part of the National Association of Secretaries of State. And when we're in a large room, you look around that room and there are a lot of blue flags with state seals on them. But two that are not anymore are Utah and Minnesota. So when the legislature initiated this legislation to give Maine voters an opportunity to choose whether or not they'd like to return to the more distinctive pine tree flag, the 1901 flag, I reached out to the lieutenant governor in Utah, who oversaw the process there, Deirdre Henderson, and to the Minnesota Department of Secretary of State to hear about their processes. And they do. They have some beautiful new flags. Minnesota had a design contest as well. Their legislature was not as prescriptive. So they had a wealth of different designs. And that was really insightful and helpful to me as I moved forward with our own design contest here in Maine.
When you say their legislature wasn't as prescriptive, what you were working with was instructions to make this very similar to the 1901 design, correct?
That's right. The law itself says that the flag, and I quote, must be buff, charged with the emblem of the state, a pine tree proper in the center, and the North Star, a mullet of 5 points in blue in the upper corner. And that was the instructions that we placed in the design brief for the contest. It turns out there are lots of different ways to design a pine tree. There is a lot of creativity in the submissions that came in to us, but that is the language in the law. And I think David made a really interesting point. We think of all of the flags as being identical, but even our current 1909 flag, the seal on the blue background, if you walk around the state capitol in Augusta, you walk around the state house or go into some of the government office buildings, you'll see a huge variety in how that seal is portrayed on those blue flags. It's really fascinating. The language of the law is the law. The interpretation is what the artist or the flag manufacturer makes it.
That's interesting. So Dave, is that the case everywhere that a flag, we think of flags as being sort of identical. The American flag is the American flag and other flags in the same way, but that's not necessarily the case?
Well, that is a fairly modern contrivance. In the early days of this country, American flags weren't all the same. There were a lot of variations in the way the stars were portrayed on the flag and even what direction the stripes were supposed to go. And it took a long time for any kind of standardization to take place. The U.S. flag wasn't standardized until 1912. And in the case of state flags, most states, you'll find a lot of variations in their flags. Probably Maine is more so that way than a lot of other states. That's just because of the people that we are here. We like to interpret things our own way. So that's what happens. And if you look around at some of the buff flags that are flying with the pine tree in the middle, you'll see all kinds of different shapes of trees, from very simple ones to very complex ones. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Only in the 20th century did people think that flags should have a prescribed design and manufacturers should adhere to them. But that's never been our way, and I don't expect that will change anytime soon.
Well, calling us now is Adam Lemire. He submitted the winning design for a proposed new state flag. Thanks for joining us, Adam, and congratulations. As Secretary of State Shenabelos has just told us, more than 400 people entered. Why did you decide to submit a design, and how did you think about it?
Well, thank you for having me. So I'm a architect, so I'm a designer, and when this was publicized that there would be a competition, I was interested. I've competed in a lot of architecture competitions, and I just thought it would be nice to think about it. You know, I didn't really know going into it what I personally wanted as a Mainer. So it was just fun to go through the process and think about it, go through that. And so I've kind of come to a conclusion now, but, you know, it was all.
Tell us about your design. I mean, I understand there's some symbolism in it. I mean, somebody might glance at it and see, well, it's a white pine tree and there's a blue star, but you were thinking a little more nuanced than that, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the main flag company, I think they have a beautiful, simple flag that's out there. And there's some other versions of it by other companies, but I was really interested in doing a Eastern white pine. And I think when you look at an Eastern white pine, they're very different than that triangular form of an evergreen. You know, they look kind of cloud-like. They have the long needles. They're just, you know, a very distinct, beautiful tree. And so my challenge was to myself was to try to represent that as best I could. And I ended up finding a nice model tree in Viles Arboretum, which is near the state house. And I ended up just sketching it and then slowly developed it a little bit more, made it a little bit more idealized, and did things like I changed the amount of branches to be 16 branches for the 16 counties. I made the trunk be a little straighter. I was trying to make it look a little bit more like a mast, you know, because those old trees used to be used for shipbuilding. And yeah, so I just was trying to represent it as best I could in kind of a somewhat realistic way, but also trying to be simple and adhere to the guidelines.
So do you step back and think, boy, my design could be the Maine state flag? And what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great honor to be selected. I appreciate going through that process. I think being an architect, it's pretty unique in that I think about these things a little bit different. I've designed, you know, hundreds of buildings, and only some of them get built, and that's fine. I think it's kind of in the hands of the citizens, and yeah, it's an exciting prospect, but yeah, I'm just honored.
Well, Adam, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts, and congratulations again to you. That was Adam Lemire from Gardner, and his design was the one that was chosen for the proposed new state flag. Secretary of State Bellows, I understand that design will not be on the ballot. Where can somebody see it if they want to see what it looks like before voting?
So we'll be publishing a citizen guide later this week, and we will also be issuing posters so people can see the design. And of course, you can go to our website as well to check out the winning design.
All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We're talking about the proposed new Maine state flag that we will all be voting on in this election. The phone number, if you'd like to discuss this, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or find us on Facebook or Instagram. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Our topic today, the Maine state flag and whether or not to change its design. With me, vexillologist Dave Martucci. He studies flags, and Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows, who's been in charge of this whole process. Share your comments and questions. Send us an email, talk@mainepublic.org. Comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Chuck, who's calling from Vinyl Haven. Hi, Chuck. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a question. What's the cost to us taxpayers in Maine? Just the changeover on a state level to all these flags. Can you tell me that?
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. You're not the only one to wonder that. Go ahead, Shenna.
So it's important to recognize that the legislature did not mandate a statewide changeover. So flags will be changed as they have normal wear and tear. We're not mandating that municipal offices do a bulk change out of their flags, nor that the state offices do that change out. So if the referendum passes, yes, I will be taking that model design and presenting it to the Adjutant General to serve as the model for the Maine state flag. And then state agencies and other governmental entities, as they are producing new flags, they can do that change out.
So there'd be probably a few years where we're seeing both flags then.
I think that's very probable.
Okay. Thanks, Chuck, for the question. Let's see. I'll go to an email here. Well, we have all sorts of opinions. Jane writes, the change to the flag makes no difference to my day-to-day life. It feels like a waste of time and resources to hold a vote on changing the flag. That said, I think Shenna Bellows chose a good version of the Star and Pine Tree, if that's what people want. I've heard some people say that flag is woke, whatever that means. Others say it's like a child drew it. I personally like it for hats and t-shirts, but would miss the more current official-looking flag if it were voted down. Peg on Instagram writes, I like the new option. I just like the trees, and the old option is too similar to several other states. Will there be little pictures on the ballot? Asking half in jest. And we've already answered that. No, the pictures will not be on the ballot. James says, I think we stay with the current flag. Better represents the state, IMO, in my opinion. How much would it cost taxpayers to change? And Shenna, you've answered that again. And then an email here from Nancy. Let's be careful not to adopt a flag that's similar to the Christian nationalism flag that declares the U.S. as a Christian nation. So, Nancy, I'm glad you brought that up. David, I see you shaking your head. This is something that kind of popped up late in the game. People suddenly saying that this flag is similar to something that represents things that, you know, most people don't want to represent.
So the flag in question is called the Appeal to Heaven flag, and it's actually the Massachusetts Navy flag of 1775, and it was adopted during the Revolutionary War to represent the ships that Massachusetts was sending against the British Empire. That flag has been reused a number of times in the past for various causes. In the 1970s, it was used very widely by left-wing radicals. It's also been used by right-wing radicals. So you can look at it however you want to look at it. Its meaning today is not the same as the meaning that it had in the past, but it's actually a somewhat different flag in that it has some similar origins to our flag, but our flag has a different color background. It's buff, which is an important color in American independence. And then we have the star on it, which that flag doesn't have. And of course, we don't have any words on this flag, which vexillologists think is a really good idea not to have words on flags.
Shanna.
I completely agree. I do want to reassure people. And it's funny how, you know, some people are like, oh, this flag is woke. Oh, this flag is Christian nationalist. It is neither. It is rooted in history of our state from 1901. And it's really in its modern incarnation. So I really hope people will let those internet conspiracies go and know that this is coming forward because of that 1901 history.
We'll go to Chris from Portland. And Chris, I understand this is especially meaningful to you.
That's right. I'm Chris Corzin, co-owner and co-founder of Maine Flag Company. Hi, Dave and Shanna. We were talking as a company about 7 years ago about starting to do this flag. And back then, it was all but lost to history. Dave was kind enough to meet with me and walk me through some of the symbolism and history of the flag. We've been doing this for about 7 years now. And, you know, might say are the originators of the pointy tree design. A lot of folks also don't know that that comes from a 1939 flag called the Merchant and Marine flag, which is Maine's official nautical flag. And if you have a boat, that's the one you're actually supposed to fly. It was designed by a gentleman from Waterville, I believe. And so we took that pointy pine tree and put it on a flag, and we're proud to be the ones who were, I think, the only company that actually makes original Maine flags in Maine. I did want to credit Secretary Bellows with, you know, making it clear that even though there's an official design and it's a lovely design that she's chosen, any flag that meets those requirements is going to be considered a Maine flag if this passes. And a lot of folks have asked us, are you going to continue to make your design or change it? And in fact, we are going to continue to use the 1939 tree. There's another company out of Indiana, I believe, that it uses that same design, and I think their plans are to continue as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what folks choose as a design for themselves as we go forward.
Mm. And Chris, I want to just ask if you could go back 7 years and why did you do this? What made you think people want an alternative to the Maine state flag?
Oh, it's simple. As Dave has indicated, you know, we have a flag that's not very distinguishable from a lot of other state flags. And we knew that there was this, you know, at that time, a historical artifact it was so much more beautiful and simple and representative of who we are as a people in Maine. We had a sense that folks would really gravitate to that, and the response was instantaneous and overwhelming.
Wow. Well, Chris, thanks so much for calling in. And I have a feeling I know what you're hoping in November. So anyway, but thanks for calling in. I want to turn to you, David, and ask you follow up on something you said earlier. You said something about the buff color and its importance in the Revolutionary era. And this is I'm curious about this because it's not a usual color for a flag. Well, tell us about it.
So George Washington prescribed the colors of continental blue and buff as the primary colors for the Continental Army uniforms. And in those days, the uniforms were blue with a buff facing, which means the cuffs and the collars were all that color. And that was the basis for some of the Revolutionary War flags, because flags are typically in those days made of the color of the facings. So that was a color that was used, and the meaning behind it was very, very significant. So the two colors together are actually the original colors of the Whig Party in Great Britain, which became the Patriot Party here in the United States. And the color buff in particular was defined here as to be the color of tanned deer hide, meaning you were standing stiff for American independence. And the color buff was used in a lot of early flags here in Maine and in other states as well. And so that's where the color comes from. Only New Jersey is the only other state that uses buff as a flag color.
Well, joining us now, Bill Green, a retired journalist and a member of the committee that selected the proposed new pine tree flag design. Thanks so much for calling in, Bill.
My pleasure, Jen. How are you?
I'm great, and I have you to thank for this conversation today. I saw Bill recently, and he was telling me what a great experience it was to serve on this committee. So, Bill, I want to ask you, tell me why this was so interesting to you, to serve on the committee that whittled this down from 400 to a smaller number to one.
As a reporter, you report on the activity of state government a lot, but you never get involved. And it's not as easy when you're on the committee as you think it would be as a reporter or as a spectator. So I'm really glad I had this experience, you know, to try to do something for the state. And so it was really interesting how the flag that got picked got picked.
So one thing you told me is that not every member of the committee is necessarily for the new flag design, but everybody cared. And so I was wondering if you would tell me about sort of the dynamics of the committee members who were discussing this.
Yes, one was a young representative. He was a Republican from Freiburg, and he's against changing the flag, but he wanted to serve on the committee, and he was very professional, and he was very interested in it. I know that Rick Bennett was on the other side of the table, and Rick had some definite ideas about the flag. There was a Democratic representative from Westbrook who was interested. So it was a really good mix of people. And the problem was that of the 400 that were, you know, attributed, that was submitted, Secretary Bellows chose 10. And There were basically, I thought, two rules in picking out this flag. One was that it could be drawn by a fifth grader for memory, and the second that it not be too much of a stylized logo, because in 50 years, styles will change and people will come and look at, you know, that popular flag that I've got on a sticker on the back of my truck, and maybe not think that that's so much of a recognizable pattern. Like, why did they pick that one? So I think we generally chose a real tree, not knowing that it had 16 limbs representing 16 counties and the blue star. My big question was, to paraphrase a question asked during the Constitutional Convention in another matter, what is buff and who decides? And I prefer buff to be, I almost prefer it to be a dark brown, you know, like burlap. I want a burlap back. I want it dull and kind of old Maine. But anyway, the flag that was selected by the committee by one vote, by the way, it was 4-3 or 5-4 or something, was selected, and here we go.
So, Bill, do you have any? You've already heard one question about this ascent to heaven flag. Do you have any concerns about this, or is this something that seems extraneous to you?
Well, I'd never heard of that, and so to me, it's extraneous. I'm going to support the new flag, just because the state emblem or the state logo. What is it called? Seal. On a union blue background. I think one time there were 20 states or something, and Dave could do it better than me, but I just would like to have something that really speaks to Maine, and I like the pine tree and Polaris, as someone's calling it. So I like the change. I think it's representative. I think it's a good representation, and I also think this is America. You know, you can fly any flag you want, and if you don't like the particular pine tree that's proposed in this flag. Oh, and as for the ascent to heaven flag, I think it's extraneous.
Well, Bill, thanks so much for calling in, and thanks for serving on the committee. Shanna, before we let him go, anything you'd like to say?
Just thank you, Bill. It was so wonderful to have such a diverse committee. And he mentioned the representatives from both sides. We had equal numbers of Republicans and Democrats, and then joined by some professionals, the Maine State historian, Earl Shuttleworth, and the Maine State archivist, Kate McBrien, as well as some historians like the Honorable Gerald Talbot. And we're really, truly grateful to have such a diverse committee working with us on this.
Well, Bill, have a great day.
It was a good committee. Thank you, Jen. I thought it was a good committee that really tried its best.
Did a great job.
It was an honest, there's no hidden message, or it's just, here's a new emblem. Hope you like it.
Thanks, Bill. That's Bill Green, who's a longtime Maine journalist, part of the group that chose the proposed new flag design that is on the ballot. Let's see. We will go to Larry, who's calling from Bangor. Hi, Larry. Go ahead.
Hi. I much prefer the present flag. It represents our lumber and fishing industry of ancient times. If we're going to have a change in the flag, the tree should definitely not be a white pine. It should be the brown ash, which is of extraordinary importance to our Aboriginal population. And like I say, the white pine is it was useful for mass 2 centuries ago. Now it's used for, it's not very much use at all. And so I would like to, if they're going to have anything, use the brown ash.
Well, Larry, thanks for your call. We didn't have that option, did we, Shanna?
We didn't. The legislature went back to the original language of the law from 1901. So actually the new language that voters will be voting on would be to restore that 1901 language. And those elements, the North Star and the pine tree, are actually on the Maine State seal. The Secretary of State, fun fact, I'm keeper of the seal, and the seal won't change. But those two elements are our, of course, state tree is the pine tree. We're the pine tree state. But I love ash trees, too. They're great.
We're going to go to a comment we received about the flag from someone using the Maine Public Vox Pop app. For those not familiar with Vox Pop, it is a quick and easy way to get a comment to us about a particular program. So you can check out our website for more information. And here is the Vox Pop comment from Robin.
Hi, this is Robin, and I love our original state flag design. I feel very strongly that a flag should be easily recognizable, and the current one isn't. It looks like many, many other state flags. At a distance, you can't tell them apart. I also think that any good flag design should be something that a 5-year-old can grab a crayon and draw. And the new old design really, really fits that bill. It's something that anybody can draw. It's a flag that we can all easily recognize. And so I am very much in support of going back to our original state flag design. Thank you.
That was Robin from Sanford using the Maine Public Vox Pop app to leave us a comment. We are talking about whether or not to change the Maine state flag. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Maine voters have a chance to help choose a new state flag. What to know about how flags are designed and more. Joining me, Secretary of State Shenna Bellows and vexillologist Dave Martucci. You can join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or post to Facebook or Instagram. It appears that the phone lines are full, but hopefully that will change pretty soon. We'll go to Daniel calling from South Portland. Hi, Daniel. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to gently push on a previous question that I didn't feel was answered. A gentleman asked about the total price, and although the answer sort of addressed how much it would cost, saying, well, they don't have to be changed at once, there was no numbers, there was no answer at all. So just like to push on that.
So this is Secretary Bellows, and we, you know, any state agency that's flying a flag has a standard small budget for repurposing those flags. I actually send out flags sometimes to students with our military academies from Maine. And so the average price of a flag can vary depending on the source, and there won't be an official manufacturer of the flag. There will be simply a design that is produced, and then any entity, when they want to, on their own time, at whatever cost they choose, can replace or replace the flag. But the legislature did not appropriate a certain bulk amount of money to replace all the flags because they did not direct that this law would result in a wholesale swapping out of the flags.
So there'll be no new budget bump. Whatever the Maine state budget is allocating for agencies to fly a state flag every year to replace that flag will not change from what it is currently.
Well said. Better than I just said.
I'm just confirming. Yes, Daniel, does that answer your question?
Your existing budget that you already have. Because, you know, when our current flags get dilapidated, if something happens that damages them, they're routinely swapped out so that they can continue to look pristine and professional when flying. So it'll be part, you know, it's absorbed into the existing budget for flying flags across the
state. Is there any additional cost to this whole process of changing the flag? And if so, do you have a ballpark? Not asking about a particular flag or anything. Is there any, can you just address additional flag for what this process of changing the flag might cost additionally?
There really, I don't see any additional costs. David, you're probably more of an expert than I am on the costs of flags. But again, it's our existing flag budgets, which we are part of our office supplies, part of our regular budgets.
Typically, flags cost anywhere from $20 for a 3x5 flag up to, you can pay as much as $200 for one, depending on how well it's made, what it's made out of, and where it's made. Whether it's a printed or a silk screen or an applique or embroidered. I mean, there's all different kinds of choices you can make in a flag. So typically municipalities and government offices fly printed flags, which are relatively inexpensive in the whole, compared to the whole world of flags. And the cost of this new flag is actually probably going to be a little bit less than the flags right now because there's fewer colors involved, but it probably isn't going to be a significant amount less. But that cost is not mandated to be encumbered right away. So as flags wear out and are get replaced, they'll get replaced with the new design. So for some period of time, you're going to still see the blue flag with the coat of arms over certain state offices or municipal offices. And when the time comes for them to replace those, they'll replace those. And like I said, they may save a couple bucks on the cost of each flag, but I think there's not going to be any significant difference in the amount of money allocated at the present time. And the other part to that is that if there is any savings, that just means they can buy more flags with the money that they already have. And so that will, you know, they'll go out longer and further, you know, in time before they have to replace them.
And Secretary Bellows, just to be clear, there's no mandate. For example, your local elementary school will not need to, if this passes, not need to run out and buy a new flag.
That is.
Yeah, I'd just like to add one further point to all this. And that is, even though we are talking about adopting a new state flag, it's not really a new one, but a different state flag, there's nothing in the law that outlaws the old flag. And so anybody who wants to continue to fly the blue flag with the coat of arms, absolutely free to do that. There's nothing that requires you to take in all your blue flags and run out and buy pine tree flags.
Daniel, thank you for your question. We're going to go up to Turner and Bede. Hi, Bede. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Hello, David. Bede Welker.
Hello, Bede. I remember you.
I purchased my first home in Gilead in 1980. I already knew my favorite vexillologist, also known as the screening maniac. At the
that
time.
Goes way back.
And started working on my in 1980. It was an old farm in Gilead. And I erected a flagpole. David had an old 48-star U.S. flag that he gave us to fly. And he then made the 1907 reconstructed, as I think what he called it at the time, Maine state flag, which we flew, and I still own it, but I'm flying a
right
new screen in front of my house in Turner now. So I love it. I think it's great. I also want to point out that pine trees are still very useful. My entire home is made of pine trees. So,
well, Bede, thank you for the call, and go ahead, Shenna.
I was just going to comment. The North American Vexillological Association was very helpful with this process. So for that committee that was choosing the flag, there's some tools that vexillologists use. You can put the designs through to see what would it look like if it was waving in the wind? What would it look like shrunk to a very small pin or made larger? What would it look like for people with different sight impairments and visual impairments? So I love this community of vexillologists. It's a community that I'm brand new to, but for everybody out there who's passionate about flags, there's a home for you, and you should reach out to David and Bede and others because it's fascinating once you dig into it.
Bede, thank you.
I couldn't have said that better myself. As an ex-president of the North American Vexillological Association, we worked really hard on producing those materials to make it easier for people to come up with really good flag designs. Every great state should have a great flag. That's one of our beliefs, and we do everything we can to help out in the process. Our people were heavily involved in both Utah and Minnesota and other states as well that have recently adopted new flags.
I want to ask you, Dave, you were talking before about some of the principles, and we've already caught this idea that a five-year-old could draw it, and we've already talked about, you said that you don't want to see words on a flag. So what are some of the other principles of a good flag?
The best flag designs are simple designs that are instantly recognizable, that have meaningful symbolism, and that are able to be seen in miniature or at a long distance or right up close and understood by most people. What most people don't realize is flags are a type of language, and they don't depend on words to convey their meanings and symbolism. Some of the simplest designs, the French flag, for example, three stripes, blue, white, red, that is one of the most complicated history, flag histories of any country in the world. And those who understand what that flag is telling them can really understand a lot about what the French nation is all about. And that's true in any flag. And like I said, a flag really should be instantly recognizable for the place it is. And Maine is the pine tree state. What other state are you going to confuse this new flag with? I don't think there's going to be any others that you might say, you know, if you see this flag, you're going to say, oh, pine tree state, that's got to be Maine.
We're going to go to an email from Catherine. She writes, without a photo on the ballot, won't voters be confused? The old flag is actually a vote for changing to a new flag. So, Shenna, are you concerned about that? I know this often comes up with ballot questions. Will the voters be confused? Are you worried about it?
I would have loved to have put images on the ballot, but that is not what the language is in the law. It says, here's question five. Do you favor making the former state flag replaced as the official flag of the state in 1909 and commonly known as the pine tree flag, the official flag of the state? So that will be the question. And yes is for the pine tree flag, the new version, the historic version in this modern incarnation. And no would be to stick with the seal on the blue background. I feel like it's a win-win. I love the seal. I love the new pine tree flag design. I feel like this is a question where there's no wrong way. Well, there's never a wrong way to vote. It's always good to vote. But this is an easy one.
We'll go to Esther, who's calling from Indian Island. Hi, Esther.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there were any Wabanaki people involved in the decision-making for the new flag and had any input.
There were not. And I hear, so that was an omission.
Esther, thanks for your question. We're going
to
go.
I'd just like to add in there real quick that the pine tree is a symbol that goes back to Native American traditions. The Iroquois adopted a white pine tree as their symbol more than 800 years ago, and a lot of the native peoples in New England utilized the pine tree as symbolism on various methods that they used to convey their symbols. So it is a Native American symbol in its original incarnation, and it was adopted originally as the symbol of Native Americans by Massachusetts settlers in the 1620s.
Esther, what do you think about the pine tree as the symbol?
I just think it would be cool to have a double curve design on there somewhere, which is a Wabanaki design.
A double curve. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for calling in and being part of the conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see here. So many emails and things coming in. But I think that most of them kind of come down to pro or con. They like the old flag. They like the really old flag. They like the pine tree. They like the blue. Early on, Shenna, you said this is something without political persuade. You know, this is something that people are not voting on based on their political party. And I'm wondering if that's really true. Is this something that people who are more, and I'm going to use air quotes here, more conservative don't want to do, and maybe people who are more liberal do? Is this, you're smiling. You don't think this is the case?
I think in terms of design aesthetics, it's not the case. You either, you know, because look around me, you know, people wearing ball caps, flags flying in dooryards. The original 1901 flag, you know, produced by Maine Flag Company, produced by other companies, including one out of Skowhegan, those have sort of taken off regardless of politics. I think, you know, back during the pandemic, both Susan Collins and I were both wearing a design of for a mask that was based on the 1901 flag. That being said, in the legislature, you know, you did see a more partisan tilt. Democrats favored giving voters the choice, and some of the Republicans did not. But I really respected, you know, Representative Caleb Ness served on the design selection committee. He's a House Republican. And he said, look, I favor keeping the blue and the state seal. He said, but whatever happens, I want there to be a really good design. So he was a great contributor to the design selection. And I appreciated that recognition. And in my office, I have a staff member who's pretty liberal. And she's like, no, I really like the blue with the seal. So it really ranges. And I do think this is just a question of identity and question of, you know, what design do you like? And both of them are great.
And Dave, what do you say to the people who are out there rolling their eyes? And we've heard from some of them in both emails and personally, who say, oh my gosh, don't we have more important things to talk about?
There's always something more important to talk about, but there's nothing more important to most people than their flag. And, you know, like I said earlier, the usage of flags goes back into the early times of human history. And why people want to fly flags is a never-ending question. We have a million reasons why people are interested in flags. For some people, they're of no account whatsoever, but for most people, flags bring forth some real important emotions and a sense of belonging. I think it's an important symbol, and I think it's important to have something that nobody else uses.
Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us today. Dave Martucci, who studies flags and flag design, and Shenna Bellows, Maine's Secretary of State. Today's sound engineer was Sandra Harris, and Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. You can find our past shows or sign up for our free weekly newsletter at mainecalling.org. And if you would like to use the Vox Pop app that you heard earlier in the program, Robin leaving us a message, you can download it for free. It's the Maine Public Vox Pop app. Tomorrow on the program, we'll be listening back to my earlier conversation with author David Lipsky about the story behind climate denial. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.